This is I Hate the Finns, episode number 27. I can't believe they still pay us to do this. But here we are. My name is Keith. I'm with my usual co-host, Zach. We're still going through, unfortunately, the off-season doldrums. But the good news is July is the last month before we have anything resembling official football. So that's nice. We're almost there. It's going to be an interesting season. We mentioned this last show. Actual quarterback battle. If you're interested in a lot of the players available next year who aren't at the quarterback position, obviously you're hoping for Josh Rosen to beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, take the job, run with it, and really establish himself as the franchise guy in Miami. That's what we're all hoping for, the team as well, obviously, except for, well, actually, I don't want to speak for everyone though, Zach, because the Tua fan club, and to a lesser extent, your fan club, the Justin Herbert fan club.
Oh, why are you doing this to me so late at night? You're trying to give me an aneurysm at 11:40 at night. You're going to kill me, Keith.
It's only 10:40 here, Central Time. Did you watch Stranger Things?
No, I barely made it through season two, to be honest. I like Stranger Things. I like the aesthetic of Stranger Things, but I'm not fully sure I understand what's going on. And I don't know if I have the willpower to go back at and figure out what is going on, truthfully.
That's interesting. I think it appeals to some people. It appeals to people my age, because this is obviously non sequitur, by the way. The whole 80s nostalgia, since I am actually an 80s. I'm not an 80s child, per se. I was born in the 80s. I'm a 90s kid, obviously, because that's when I was actually growing up. But I think it appeals to some people who weren't alive in the 80s. You are obviously the outlier there, because it doesn't really appeal as much to you. Anyway, that was a total tangent, but I'm just kidding. Zach's not a big Justin Herbert fan. And we've talked about this a little bit, usually off the grid, but a lot of the reviews coming in claim that he's going to be this mammoth quarterback prospect. And then you look at the tape last year and it's like, I guess you see what you want to see. I don't know.
I mean, like I see a, I guess more modern feels like a weird phrase to put to it, but like everything that he showed so far is the same thing that Blaine Gabbert showed at Missouri.
How
I do not
you.
Understand what the difference is. Right. but it's the same thing. And like, I don't know. I guess just because Josh Allen has gotten so high and he's done it, but like he was essentially a running back last year. So he was more of a running back than Lamar Jackson was, which is pretty bad.
Have you ever seen Clerks or Clerks 2? I always thought that
not in years,
but Blaine Gabbert looks just like Randall.
Yeah.
Like, especially like when you'd be on the sideline with like the backward hat and be like, man, you are killing it right now.
So Blaine Gabbert was such a lax bro. I don't know how he ended up in the NFL.
He wasn't even like a day one, day two prospect. And then I want to say they played Iowa in a bowl game his last year at Mizzou, and he threw for something like 400 yards or whatever. But Missouri lost that game. I think they were they had a chance to win it. They blew it. Iowa wins. I think it was against Iowa. I'm going off memory. But I remember watching that game live and thinking, nah, this is probably going to pump up this dude's draft stock a ton. And you know, like when you're watching a game and you can almost see a draft prospect like going up through the levels of like, oh, now he's a third rounder. Well, that'll probably put him in the second round. That's how I felt watching Blaine Gabbert. And I knew it was a quarterback starved draft just because they were hyping up dudes like Jake Locker was in that draft. We already met Christian Ponder, and I'm mentioning everyone outside of Cam Newton, by the way, at the top. So, and the thing is, I liked Christian Ponder, but he was never healthy, and he had that elbow issue at Florida State. It was never the same. But before that, Christian Ponder, like, I was a big fan of that dude as a prospect, but he had some, I forget the elbow issue exactly, but after that, he was never the same.
Yeah, before I mean, that was a really bad quarterback class, but at the same time, it gave us guys like Andy Dalton, Kaepernick.
Kaepernick in the second round that year.
Yeah, who else? I thought there was one more that was like a later guy that's just kind of stuck. God, I can't remember off the top of my head.
2011?
Yeah, I thought there was a random later guy that's kind of just hung around. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of that short little run that TJ Yates had. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Bless his little heart. Yeah, and Andy Dalton's one of the more successful guys in that draft. And the funny thing is Cincinnati fans spend a lot of their time arguing about whether he sucks or not.
You know who else was in that class now that I'm thinking about it? Tyrod Taylor was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And McElroy. Good old Bama quarterbacks.
Oh, man. Yeah, he got in the announcing booth almost immediately.
Oh, yeah. That's where he was meant to be, though.
Yeah, that was, you know, the weird thing about that draft, though, is that it was so good in some respects, as long as you weren't drafting a quarterback. Because you think some of the guys came out, like Von Miller's in that draft.
Yep, J.J. Watt, right?
Yeah, J.J. Watt is in there. Yep. And for a while there, we were convinced that Alden Smith was in that league, too.
Yep. Well, when he was playable in the NFL and not suspended, he was.
Yeah. Well, man, did he start off with a bang in San Francisco. And I mean, I blame all of the Deion Jordan parallels and projections and everything on Alden Smith's early production in San Francisco. Yep. Because, I mean, I think you and I know you and I have talked about this before, but similar prospects in build. But I mean, the only difference is, well, I think actually now that I think about it, there wasn't much of a difference outside of Deion Jordan could just had a small window there where it looked like he was starting to put it together, and then it went away. And Alden Smith, I think San Francisco knew what to do with him and put him in a position to succeed. And early on in that defense, I mean, honestly, he could just pin his ears back. Because, I mean, he came out and like he was just a rail for a 3-4 edge guy. So just, you know, tall and skinny. But early on, man, he was awesome. I mean, like, he wasn't even the focal point in that San Francisco defense, because that's when they had Justin Smith, and they were really just built around that, like that ultra penetrating, like five tech size player. So, I mean, like, and you think, like, I mean, if you're Alden Smith, you're playing in a linebacker core with, you know, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. First, it's late, and so my brain's not functioning. And I think the other edge guy was Ahmad Brooks.
So, probably at that point. I forgot about Ahmad Brooks. He was a solid player. He was their Calvin Pace.
Yeah, he's their... Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you're playing across from Alden Smith, who's just out of his mind on the field at that point. Not in terms of his personal life. And, I mean, the funny thing is that front seven was so stupid good that they were sending guys like Carlos Rogers to the Pro Bowl. I want to say, didn't Deshaun Golden go to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, there were a bunch of rando corners that went from those 49er teams just because their front seven was so good.
Yeah, and the thing, like, guys who just could not get going elsewhere and then play when that front seven is just absolutely just eating people alive, and suddenly things are a lot easier. I can't believe I couldn't remember Patrick Willis's last name. That's when you know it's been a long week, and it has been. I'm in super dad mode right now, and I just come home and I just like think of dad things all the time. The only downside to that is eventually you hit a wall and you're like, what have I done?
But like, I think Patrick Willis, how long has he been out of the league? He's got to be coming up on 4 or 5 years, right?
I want to say it's like three or four years.
It feels like it was so much longer ago.
Well, he's still in it when they went to... I want to say he retired after 2015, because I know that. Yeah, crap. I'm just going a base off memory. And like I said,
he retired in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was in that range because it shocked me.
Yeah.
And he was the guy he was the dude I wanted to take in that 2007 draft. And the shame in all of that is if the Dolphins had known what to do with Ted Ginn, that would have been a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
Dude, he had a long ass career in the league. I mean, like, he's still viable. I mean, it sounds like he got absolutely eaten alive in that $1 million race thing that they did weeks ago.
He's well into his 30s at this point, so.
Yeah, he's a year younger than me, so he's 34. I think his birthday's the day before mine. I don't know why I remember that. I think he's April 12th.
It's because you were traumatized when they took him over Brady Quinn, just like me.
I guess so. Like, it's been so long now where I think, like, I didn't really want Brady Quinn, but if you think about it, and you're a Dolphins fan, and, like, especially at that point, I mean, you're coming out of a season when you were starting Dante Culpepper, and then he got hurt because he wasn't ready. Yep. And then you're starting Joey Harrington. I think Cleo Lemon got a start that year, too.
Yes.
I think he started against Indianapolis late in the year. But all that's to say that at that point, it didn't take much of a quarterback prospect in the first round for Dolphins fans to salivate. And honestly, what's changed?
Yeah. Yeah. We're in the same spot.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why with Josh Rosen, I mean, I was a big fan of him last year.
Yep.
I mean, there are warts in his game. He's not perfect. But what quarterback prospect is perfect?
Well, like,
and if you think about it, it's not like these guys, like Andrew Luck, yeah, is a guy who came out and rolled out number one. And it looks like he's getting back to his old self, which even though I hate the Colts, and I'm a little bit horrified that Jim Irsay is the one who bought up all David Gilmour's guitars. at the same time, his money goes right to climate change charities anyway. Yeah. So his money's just as good as anyone else's. It looks like Andrew Luck's getting back to it. But you think about all these guys who have come out, and there's always some kind of wart in their game when it's like, yeah, we don't know. Nobody was sold on Cam Newton when he came out. I mean, he wasn't even viewed as the number one pick in that draft. At one point, it was coming down to a lot of people thought it was Nick Fairley was going to be the number one pick in that draft, which is ridiculous because I think he went, 13th
yep.
overall. Marcell Dareus, I think, is in that draft.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's just crazy thinking about the Josh Rosen trade for what the Dolphins gave up to get him. Like, it essentially, they leased a second rounder and they gave up a fifth rounder, which is crazy. Like, and they didn't even, like, truly give up a second round pick. Like, they leased it for a year. That's insane.
I think it's weird for Dolphins fans because usually these fans are more than used to seeing this team on the short end of that deal.
Yep.
Just getting ripped off all the time.
Yeah.
Giving up too much or going after a player that's not going to solve what you're looking for. I'm thinking about the Brandon Marshall deal right now.
Yep.
Everyone thought that was it. It was not. Turned into another problem. And then we traded 2 twos for him, I think.
Yep.
And then we got 2 threes in return, I think, from Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like for the way he wanted out, and like it was blatantly known, like Brandon Marshall is not playing for the Miami Dolphins next year. Losing one round doesn't feel so horrible. It's still not good, but doesn't feel terrible.
Yeah. No, I agree. And at least you're able to get something from it.
Yeah.
That was also, I think, Chicago in the midst of making that deal. I think that's when they also parted ways with Greg Olsen. That hurt, I think.
Yeah.
That was a premature move. My dad hates Greg Olsen so much, and I've never understood why. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's sour grapes. I think it's a little bit of the fact that, I mean, Greg had a little bit of the fumbles.
Yeah.
When he was playing in Chicago, he had some costly fumbles early in his career. And then he goes to Carolina and he's just a world beater. So, I mean, it's just classic Chicago sports fan stuff where you're just like, what the hell? Why couldn't you do that here? I mean, you couldn't hang on to the ball if your life depended on it. Now you're Cam Newton's most reliable red zone target by a mile, which is easy to do when you play in a very undersized, really pass catching group outside of when they had Kelvin Benjamin. But I don't know. I'm stoked about Josh Rosen. Honestly, I've had so much going on that I've forgotten about the fact that we have that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's in camp right now with a chance to win the job. And if he doesn't win the job, you know it's not going to take much to get him in there.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to just see him play all 16 games. I don't think he needs to play all 16 games because people seem to be really set on, like, if he doesn't play all 16 games, it was a waste. What did they even do that for? It's like, again, you got him for next to nothing. Essentially, for leasing a second-round pick and a fifth round pick this year, not even last year, you got the 10th and 11th pick in the 2019 draft, like, which is crazy. But if he starts, hey, even if they split half and half of the season, you can get a pretty good idea of what you got in Josh Rosen in 8 games. I just don't see them going after a quarterback in the first round next year. I think they're looking to build long term, and it doesn't make sense unless they think a guy is going to be like a franchise life changing guy, which I don't necessarily know if any of those guys are at the moment. Tua is probably the closest, but I just don't see it next year.
Who's your favorite prospect in next year's class?
Ooh.
Regardless of position, just a guy where you're just like, man, not only, even if the Dolphins don't get him, I'm stoked to watch him play.
That's tough. I'm going to say it's a really close tie for totally different reasons between Grant Delpit, the safety from LSU, who's essentially Derwin James 2.0. And then Kenny Wilkes, the edge player from Michigan State. I love him. He's really good too.
It's been a while since Michigan State really kicked out a killer edge like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the last one we thought was going to be potentially Shalik Calhoun, but he went to the Raiders and just RIP. That was over before he even got there. They're not my top two prospects, but they're definitely my two that I'm looking forward to the most this season.
No, they're your favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a question anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a binding contract. You're allowed to change your mind.
No, I'm not.
I know we all.
This is going on the internet, Keith. I can't change my mind.
The internet's undefeated. And so my guy is Jerry Jeudy.
Yes.
By a mile.
Oh, yeah.
I love players like that. And I think that guy is the ultimate example of the type of receiver Alabama has churned out.
Yep.
The past five. Well, really, most all their receivers after Julio have been more of like, I always struggle for the ideal player to compare these guys to, because I mean, you think about like Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, and now you got Jerry Jeudy, and I always call them slashers because they're not big body dudes who are just going to sit there and just house guys in the vertical passing game and just body everyone. Like, I mean, Amari Cooper did do that a little bit at Bama, but these dudes are all 6'1 ish. I mean, like, I'm 6'1. Like, I can't imagine going out there.
I think they're all Reggie Wayne copies. Like,
that was exactly what I was going to say. How dare you? How dare you jump in front of me on that one? But I was going to say that. I was going to say, yeah, got him. But that was I thought about this today, and it hit me that Reggie Wayne is, in my opinion, where this mold starts, I think.
Yep.
Because Reggie Wayne is about 6 foot. 6 foot, maybe a little over 6 foot, and coming out of Miami, it was just that kind of player. Not a guy who houses people and goes up and high points the football with ease. And, you know, I'm sorry, I think the kids now, they call it mossing people. I always called it like housing, like in terms of the vertical passing, but it's evolved that term anyway. But he was a slasher. Oh, I hate you for saying that before I like rolled it out.
I'm sorry.
You ruined. No, that's okay. It makes me feel good that you thought of it too. So clearly, I wasn't totally off base because I figured maybe I'd throw it out there and you're like, no, you're stupid.
It's gonna be really funny come draft time when people just overanalyze things too much, and there's gonna be a few teams, few people that are gonna be like, yeah, I have Henry Ruggs above Jerry Jeudy, which I think Ruggs has more burners to him. Jeudy's just crisp.
Jeudy is, you know how much I loved Calvin Ridley coming out of Alabama, and I hate Alabama's program. And even I was just like a total fanboy for him. I was like, man, I mean, and the Dolphins didn't even really need a receiver like that. But at the same time, I was like, man, if they took Calvin Ridley, I'm not even mad at that point. Jerry Jeudy is like a supercharged Calvin Ridley, which is saying a lot because Calvin Ridley was slippery and explosive playing for those guys. So, but I mean, I think Jerry Jeudy might have a little bit of a bigger body And that's, so I think like he might be able to use that to his advantage more. But I just watch him play, like, in terms of a slasher guy, he is the total package. Great route runner. Just stupid route running ability.
The one guy that I want to see two wide receiver wise this year, especially with a non Heisman winning quarterback, is going to be CeeDee Lamb. Like, if he puts up another big year, he's going to get Juju comps. Like, I think he's going to get Juju comps all over the place.
I loved him when, obviously, it's easy to look good when Baker Mayfield's throwing you the ball.
Yeah.
Because he was, I thought late in the year in Oklahoma's 2017 season, like, he was another guy where he was just an absolute matchup problem and explosive. And again, slippery. I use slippery as a term to describe a lot of these guys, but that's him. Because Marquise Brown was the guy who was just like the stupid speedster on that team. But CeeDee Lamb, I thought, was just a home run guy in his own right.
Yeah, but he's a little bit more physical too, which is nice. Like, and that's the thing. They had a nice combo there of Hollywood Brown, who, you know, you got to have the safeties, you know, 14 to 16 yards off and giving that double help just in case. So CeeDee Lamb's just bodying dudes up and working that sideline and just beating dudes up left and right. But when he wants to and needs to, like, he can turn it on. He reminds me, his comp that I've been giving him outside of the easy Juju one is Michael Crabtree. That's who he reminds me a lot of. Same conference too there.
Oh, man. Michael Crabtree comps. Way faster than Crabtree, though. What do you think? I think CeeDee Lamb's like a low 4.4 guy. Remember, I don't know that Michael Crabtree ran the 40, did he? I think he dodged it.
Didn't he have the foot issue that whole offseason before the draft?
And then, like, it just turned into something where I don't know that he ever officially ran that.
I don't think he did very much that pre-draft process, to be honest, correctly.
Well, because that was a draft where he was expected to be a high pick. And I mean, like, given some of the guys who were high picks in that draft, he should have been. That was Jason Smith. Went number 2 overall. That was the tackle out of Baylor. That was an absolute disaster. Man, now I got to think here.
I can't even remember.
Kansas City, Tyson, the defensive tackle. No. Good Lord. No,
he's from Cal. Yeah, he went to Cal.
Oh, that was the shocker pick of that draft. That was in 2010. That was the next year.
You're talking the guy from LSU.
Yeah. What is his name? Tyson. Man, it's late and it's rough. So, and then fourth was Curry.
Eric Curry.
And that guy was thought as like the can't miss player in that draft.
Yep. Yeah. Tyson Jackson.
There we go. Let me think of the other guys in there, because I think Crabtree filled it. Did he fall to 10?
Yeah, he went to 10 for San Francisco. Who do the Bills take right after him?
Oh, Aaron Maven.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was another one where, man, when that dude came out of Penn State, you just hear, we'll just play a game with this. Just like name the team picking after 4 and let's see if I can remember who they took.
Okay, so we just hit 11 with Buffalo. Who did San Diego take in that one?
That was Larry English out of Northern Illinois, which is where I went to school. So that was a guy that I was actually interested in the Dolphins getting. Obviously, it worked out for them. Let's see here. Michael Orr is in that draft.
And right after Michael Orr, my big draft with my Jets buddy. Yeah, I loved him.
Oh, man. Let's see. So fifth pick was Sanchez, I think. I think that's traded up for him. And then the sixth was at Cincinnati. Andre Smith.
Yep. Next one was Oakland.
Seventh is Darius Hayward Bay.
Yep. Jacksonville.
That's Monroe.
Yep. Green Bay.
That was BJ Raji.
It was.
Okay, and then we said it's Crabtree and then Aaron Maven. And then 12. Who had the 12th?
Denver.
Denver took who did Denver take that? I remember this
it was the same year as Matthew Stafford.
Yeah,
so
yeah, this is a McDaniels draft. Oh, no, Sean Moreno.
There it is. He was awesome at Georgia. I loved him at Georgia.
I think Denver traded back into the second round to get off Alphonso Smith that year.
Alphonso Smith, the Colorado guy?
No, the 5'8 corner out of Wake.
Remember that? Wake. I always mix him up with the same colors. The guy from Colorado?
Jimmy Smith.
Was it?
Jimmy Smith was in 2011. Unless you're talking about
Denver traded up for Alphonso Smith
with Seattle, I think, is who ripped him off in that draft.
Yep. And then who is the corner that I am thinking of? Who knows?
You're not thinking of Alphonso Denard out of Nebraska?
No, I don't know who I'm thinking of.
All right, so 12th pick was Denver. So who had the 13th?
13 was Washington.
They took Brian Arakpo.
Arakpo.
I was just like seeing him in those Geico commercials. I was like, man, what is that guy's name?
New Orleans.
New Orleans took
plays for the Eagles.
Yeah,
now.
No. He does out of Ohio State. Jenkins. Yep. There we go.
Yep. Malcolm.
Ooh, I was just sitting there and I was just like, man, this is a problem. It's late. Give me a break.
Houston took one of my favorite linebackers.
Houston took Frank Cushing.
Yeah, they did. Jersey guy. Yeah. Tampa Bay took a quarterback.
Yeah, they took Josh Freeman.
Yeah, they did. Broncos took Robert Ayers.
Yeah. Tennessee.
And then from there, 19 through 22 was solid. Macklin, Pettigrew, Alex Mack, Harvin.
Alex Mack's in there, Percy Harvin, then Michael Orr, I think, is in there. Because I think the Patriots traded out of that spot, if I recall correctly.
They did. Orr, Jerry, and then the Vontae Davis pick was there.
Yeah, and the two guys I liked the most in that draft were Vontae Davis and Clay Matthews.
And they were right there back to back.
Oh, man. And the thing is Vontae Davis, that was the first time I saw ESPN had their scouting rankings. And I saw it in like October of 2008. And I think Vontae Davis was number 2, just behind Matthew Stafford. And it was like that pretty much for. And then his stock started to slide because, you know, he had a lot of questions about his character and everything. It's not like they knew he was going to retire at halftime. At the end of his career or anything, but
yeah, I mean, and then it kind of rounds out Donald Brown for the Colts.
Yeah,
good pick there, Eric Wood.
Well, yeah, which Thurman Merman, by the way, if you've seen Bad Santa, one of my favorite players in recent memory though is coming up here, and that's Hakeem Nicks,
and then Kenny Britt, who trucked me in high school. I got trucked by Kenny Britt in high school. Yeah, we used to scrimmage Bayonne every year. And my freshman year, I was the contained guy for kickoff. And so we kicked off and he started running the other way. He's like, no, I'm going to come back the other way. And like a 5'6", 130 pounds, soaking wet Zach just completely got run over.
Oh, man. Right on his way to Rutgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, poor Kenny Britt. And then last two are Beanie Wells and Ziggy Hood.
Yeah, Beanie Wells. And he was, a lot of people thought New Orleans was going to take him earlier in that draft.
Yeah. Because
he was supposed to be the big back prospect.
Yeah.
And then Percy Harvin, one of the more puzzling careers for that kind of, and he never really had a position, kind of did everything. You know,
yeah.
I mean, same thing coming out of Florida. Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Is he a guy you just want on returns? Like, what are we doing here? Because, I mean, like, he was just a home run threat every time he had the ball.
James Laurinaitis never made a Pro Bowl?
Nah, I don't think so.
What is this nonsense?
I was a big fan of his at Ohio State, which is saying a lot, though, because I hate that school.
And what's really funny is, like, Raekwon McMillan is kind of just more modern James Laurinaitis, if we're being honest with ourselves here.
No, that's right on.
Raekwon McMillan can play on third down if you need him to, but realistically, he's just like 115 to 130 tackle James Laurinaitis.
God bless Jerome Baker at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen Jerome Baker's gained like 15, 20 pounds? Like, yeah, and like 20 pounds.
I just hope he doesn't lose that, because he's got that blitzkrieg speed at that second level. I love watching that dude run.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he will. He's a pretty crazy athlete. And like, that was when he was coming into Ohio State, when he was recruited in, that was like the word on the street was like, Ohio State just recruited the stupidest athletic linebacker that we've seen in a while, like since like Zach Brown, UNC. And he was like tearing it up his first couple years. His first season, he had some big plays. And then once he got moved into a full-time role, it's like it was almost too much for him. And like, they didn't let him kind of roam and flow and like do everything that he should do as an athletic guy. And they started playing him in like overlooks and stuff like that, where he just was not big enough. Because like in college, he played at like 210, 215.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But then, like, I think the Dolphins kind of have a good role for him, and I think he's going to have an even better role in the new defense now. I think there's times you're even going to see them run I don't want to say a 34 front, but something that is kind of like it. And you may see him as just, like that stand-up defensive end with an outside linebacker, probably Van Ginkle, to be honest. As the over guy. And then you're going to see Jerome Baker as that run and chase / floater linebacker in the middle.
Oh, man. Well, let's go ahead and continue this conversation into our next show, which I think we can record this weekend too. For all those people who are all now, we're down from 8 people. We have 7 now. We have 7 listeners.
We lost one. Oh, no.
Really? Oh, no. We need to find a way to pay these people. Like, we have no shame. We'll make it worth your time. So we'll continue that discussion. We'll talk about some of the guys we want to see play on defense. You mentioned Van Ginkle. I'm excited to watch that dude play. Very Patriots type player. Like, definitely a chess piece. But Jerome Baker is too.
Yeah.
So
we'll do a nice preview episode.
We will. And then we'll waste a bunch of time talking about the 2009 draft as well. So. Oh, Louis Delmas is in the second round. I think he was the first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
Louis Delmas.
He was awesome. He was a goodie.
Oh, man. If he could just stay healthy, he would have been I think he would have had a great career outside of what he was able to do.
He would have been Bob Sanders 2.0, but they had the same flaws. So
I was going to say that's similar. So, all right. For everyone listening, thank you, all 7 of you. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time. For Zach, my name's Keith. This has been I Hate the Fins, number 27. We'll be back for 28, and we'll record that this weekend. Maybe we'll do another one, too. We got to catch up since we took a couple of weeks off to avoid the daunting task of making it sound like the football world is buzzing right now, because it is not. So, like I said, for Zach, my name's Keith. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.